You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major Seventh. The entire crew is here, starting off with my man Longevity.
Hi.
Who's in good spirits.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, man.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
My man Jay Moore is in the building. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Kicking but not high. Flapping but can't fly. It's all good as long as the sun's in the sky.
Oh, man. Got some more
game
today.
Okay. My man DJ J Diff. What's happening, man?
Salutations.
Good to see you, brother.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
What y'all sipping out of, man? We got some... looks familiar.
I got a J Diff bobblehead.
Yeah,
mug.
I got the Bringing Down the Band one.
Yeah, but, still on brand though. Still on brand. Yeah, these are pretty cool. Shout out to the homie Red August.
You can buy them on newoldheads.com.
Who's in the building? Yes,
plug.
You can. Doing what he does. We appreciate you as always. Shout out to the chat. We see y'all.
What up?
Let's see.
Though.
What up, though? Chat didn't. There's one. No, it's not. Sorry. I thought the chat.
False alarm.
I thought the chat threw us a random topic. Y'all didn't see, and nobody saw anything this week that.
It was kind of a light week, man.
Yeah, like.
It's way, you know, when the week. Thing is, everything first starts up first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody got a lot of stuff out of the way fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know, as far as releasing music.
There was some good. I will say there was some decent music that dropped in the last week, though.
Yeah, so I mean, no, that, you know, definitely we talked about
that Benny the Butcher, J. Cole.
Yes,
we're dropping.
Wow.
We do the turn off your radio thing on Bringing Down the Band. So if you want to find new hip hop stuff, we drop that every Wednesday now.
I tell you what, man,
check it out.
We, as we were talking about prior to coming on, J. Cole destroyed that song. Now Benny got off.
Yeah, he got off.
Benny got off.
I mean, Benny always does his thing.
What? J. Cole bodied that.
Did J. Cole have a shot at Benny too? Because it kind of
sounded like he did.
Because he was talking about like drug rap.
Yeah,
a little bit.
He kind of did have a shot at him on his own.
I felt that.
Oh
yeah. Thanks.
Stuff.
It's all right.
Got to be conscious of these things.
Hey,
look, you see Long with his third eye. He pointed to his third eye. See,
this is a fourth and fifth eye.
Is that what that is?
But now he got busy, man. Shout out to J. Cole. I know people that, you know, are cool, like not fond of J. Cole, but respect him. And one of my homies was like, man, J. Cole got busy. And you know, I'm not really a J. Cole fan, but he bodied that verse. So far, verse of the year is early, but
very early.
Bruh
said he had that line where he said he can't do if Jesus asked him for a feature.
Yeah.
It followed up by something. I don't remember the exact, but I was like, wow.
I don't know what it said, but it was good.
It was.
It was fire.
Try it out.
Yeah. not going to mess it up by trying to recite somebody else's
song. What's the song called?
It's produced by The Alchemist, too, by the way.
Was it?
He produced that one. Beat is cold to me.
What's the name of that song?
I know we're familiar, but maybe to the listeners.
Johnny P's Caddy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nick Grant. I'm a fan of Nick Grant.
Yeah,
I am as well.
Yep. The album that he dropped is probably the closest.
When did he drop an album? I missed it.
Like 2018?
Yeah, he just dropped. Don't do that. He just dropped. It was recent. How recent? I don't know. I know it came out this year. But his
this
album.
This year it's only been, we're only 31 days in.
What's today's date?
February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Morning. It was 31 days.
Come on, man.
Today ain't all the way over. Patty Pendergrass.
But no, that Nick Grant is fire. Very funky. Outkast. It reminds me of Organized Noise and Outkast. Very funky. I think y'all would like it. I would suggest running that one. Production is fire.
This isn't Welcome to Loveland, is it?
Yes, I believe that's what it's called. It's got the
produced by Eminem.
What?
I mean, that's what it says. I'm looking at it right here.
Okay.
Album snapshot, Nick Grant, Welcome to Loveland. And it says produced by Eminem.
Produced the whole album?
Not the music I heard.
Yeah, we'll have to check the credits on that.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just a song. I don't know.
Because, but Nick Grant snapped. I think he's, we talked about underrated artists. He's definitely one of them that I failed to mention. I think he's, every time he drops high quality product to me. So I'm a fan of him. I would suggest that one. I would run that one. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've heard that came out that was dope. We obviously we talked about the Benny. Jaymore, did you get heard anything else other than pretty much the Benny and
no? I mean, like, I'm not sure. You know, the way music is now, I'm not sure if this is a setup for an entire project or, you know, maybe it's a collaboration. But it's just, I think it. You know, I just take songs for what they are. Is it a record I like? Yeah, yeah. I don't worry about. I can't worry about rollouts.
Yeah.
At this point in the game, you know, because really, what is a rollout in 2022?
They are. Like, you know, when I say they, these stuff to pop just pops up on timelines or what have you. Kendrick might be dropping something pre Super Bowl.
Bro, it would make sense, but you know,
it would make sense.
I mean, I don't really care about a rumor from somebody who's less in the music industry than me.
I heard that. Got me there. I mean, I hope he drop is all I'm saying. I'd be,
you know, Kendrick is so in his own realm of artistic expression. He might not even drop anything. He's just like, y'all get it when I'm ready for you to have it.
I mean,
this is a dope joint here.
What's that?
Cool G Rap with Lil Fame and Freeway.
Yeah, I listen to anything with Freeway on.
Yeah, they got this song called Wise Guys. It's pretty dope.
Oh, okay. Shout out to G Rap. Legendary.
Yeah.
I have to check that out.
You know, we could maybe come back to talking about the producer stuff we were meaning to talk about a while back too, perhaps.
Oh, would possibly starting another.
Yeah,
bracket.
I already started it in Discord. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but maybe if we have time at the end of the show, maybe we can bring it up or something. But
I saw Ninth Wonder. He made a post about a song that he had done with someone, and Primo was doing the scratches on his radio show, and Ninth was talking about how even for him, it's really cool to see one of his heroes cutting up one of his joints on the radio, because he said they used to be in a dorm. People used to argue about, you know, RZA versus Primo, and they used to have those conversations. And we've all had those conversations about who, you know, which producer does what. And I was thinking about, funny you mentioned the producers. I was trying to come up with a list of probably the 10 or I don't know, 10 is usually a good number of Primo's coldest beats. And it was one of the hardest things for me to do. There's too many.
Because they all sound similar, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Are you talking about add the Fred Durst beat on there?
It's all for the Nookie? Did he do that one?
No, he did.
Lone Stupid.
No. He did the one.
He did the one with Method Man.
Yeah. But, like, are there any beats that jump out in your head automatically when you think Prime?
Definitely the one with Christina Aguilera.
If I could throw.
Royalty.
Royalty.
But I like that record. I like that record.
I don't.
I'm not mad at it.
Nas is like.
Not yet, definitely.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Joint, the. What's the.
Mass Appeal.
Mass Appeal.
What's the one where it was like the Air Force, or it was the shoe one? It was like Kanye.
Classic.
Rakim.
Because see, the thing is, his version is a B-side, but that's the one everyone knows. The A-side is Rick Rubin. Because
they were on the roof and with the graffiti and everything. That joint was cold. Terry said Royalty. I'm. Above the Clouds for me, immediately comes to mind with him. He just has so many. He has so many bangers, iconic bangers.
What's the beat that goes bum 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 bum?
You're gonna have to invent that app that's just gonna pick that one up.
So Ghetto by Jay-Z off of Volume 3. That's another one.
I'll take that. I don't know if it's. I'll take that. I'm trying to think.
What was Right Where You Stand? Was that Primo?
Yeah.
Man, unbelievable.
That was on Owners. Yeah.
He's.
I like Owners.
Ten Crack Commandments.
That's another one. I don't know, man. To get 10. I think it's
10 of them.
I
don't think it'd be too hard.
No, not hard at all.
My thing is, the reason I say hard is because once you name 10, you're going to be like, dang, I forgot about
Words That I Manifest by Gangsta.
That's what I'm saying. I forgot about this. I forgot about that. And Primo's catalog,
You know my steez. Come on now. Like, we
see,
can do this.
You're still
day.
Going. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's what's gonna be fun about this this bracket.
I'm still trying to think of that.
Which you got me thinking about it now.
All for You remix from Janet Jackson.
Hold on, I think I know where you're
it's
going.
It's a Gangstar song.
What is?
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that. Dun, 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 yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the title.
Oh man, I feel bad
now
because
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I can't call the song. Is that on
Full Clip?
Full Clip.
Yeah, Full Clip. There we go. Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah.
Fire.
I'm so glad I would have bothered me.
Yeah, that was gonna bother me.
I'm glad
if I didn't think of that.
Yeah,
because it's got the
that mug is cold. Moment of truth. I remember buying, going to the store, hype buying that. I remember that vividly.
About owners, I remember buying. I remember when I figured out his science. Yeah, I remember when I figured out how he made beats and
what
his structure.
What sparked like?
I was just curious. I wanted to make something like Primo.
Okay.
And I just was listening. I was like, how's he doing? Because all his beats are similar, but they have this like feel to it. And he had like there was like a gap in like all of his beats.
Mm,
like even that was like, bum, 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 space. Bum. Yeah. It was like an opening.
Oh, you know what? Another record, Boom by Royce da 5'9".
Oh.
I'd have to hear it. I don't remember it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna try
you
to.
We don't need you. Yeah, I don't need you to do that. I don't need you to do that.
Boom,
No, we don't need that. I don't need that. Leave that alone.
It'll be just our luck that'll get us a copyright strike somehow.
Yeah, we don't want that.
I don't think I'm that good.
I mean, he got heat. I just thought about the heat with Royce.
They're
Primo, yeah. Prime.
Yeah,
did he do?
Yeah, they got a whole album together. No, he didn't do that one.
Oh, well, that's one of my favorite ones.
But no, Moment of Truth.
They should do another Prime. That was actually a good project.
They got two.
Mm-hmm.
Should do another one.
Did y'all see Game said that he and Hit-Boy are about to be, and he started throwing names out like
calm down
I want to make sure I give y'all the comparison.
Something about Dre.
Yeah. I see. Well,
Nas
played.
Had already said to him and Hit-Boy was a new Primo and Gang and Guru.
He said Game said after his comes out they're gonna be Swiss and DMX. They're gonna be I see what you did, and he named two or three other combinations, and I'm like,
Game is the king of hyperbole when it comes to hip hop, and always just overstating things.
Who do you trust?
And the thing is, I liked Game's last record; it made my year end list.
That was a good record.
Who do we trust more in this? In this union, I believe in Hit-Boy more than.
But
I
the
do
thing
Game.
Is, Game and is like actually Game. A very dope rapper. But what's the over-under on how many times he's going to name drop Dr. Dre on this new
Depends
project?
Depends how long the track list is.
Depends how long the track list is.
If it's 12 tracks?
Yeah.
12 times.
He drops it multiple times on tracks.
That's true. So it could be 24. It could be 37.
Well, you know, he might decide to, you know, also mention Eazy-E.
I mean,
Jay-Z. He's going to mention Jay-Z again.
I mean, there's a level, but there's a line somewhere in there between like homage and... Just doing it too much.
I mean, you've literally been doing it your whole career. Like on the first album, it was like, okay, we get it. That was dope.
Yeah.
First album was.
Dr. Dre actually.
Even the second album was like, okay.
He called it the Doctor's
Advocate.
Kind of
doing the same thing that you were doing on the last album.
And Dr. Dre didn't produce any of the records.
None of them.
Hey, that first one is a classic, though.
No, it was. It should have been 50 Cent's album.
Facts. Now, I'm with y'all on that. I think I wouldn't do the over-under because it could get bad. I've heard him. He's been the spirit of Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre reincarnated. Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre's still alive. Can't be reincarnated from somebody that's still living.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Look, they're going to have extra security.
He's
going
to figure out new ways to
make sure Game doesn't try to run on stage.
Andre Young.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Doc.
Back when Dre was young.
The D-R-E.
Yeah.
I done heard it multiple ways. Game is like to Terry's point. Be clear, he makes good albums. But I'm cool on the name dropping at this point, and I know it's gonna happen. But I trust Hit-Boy to give him a West Coast inspired Hit-Boy would be very dope to me.
Is it gonna be better than the Hit-Boy Nas collaborations?
got some work to do.
He's gonna have some work.
It just depends on who you like more.
Because Big Sean dropped a project with Hit Boy that didn't go over all that well.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's true.
It wasn't memorable.
Okay. It just wasn't. Cool. It's not the Nas joints.
Nah, it's not. But if Game gets in his bag,
if Game gets
in his bag, and the production
Game.
It's got potential to be fire
as far as rapping. He's gonna rap. Yeah. It just depends on where he takes it and how many times he name drops Dr. Dre.
But I don't want, this is just me as a consumer, I don't need it to be 19 joints. I don't need that many songs, man. I short and concise like Nas and Hit-Boy have done. Let's get in and get out.
Well, the last project was a short one, but the one before that was a little longer.
How many tracks is on King's Disease 2? That's what I have to look up. I don't think that one had,
say 12,
maybe 12, 12-ish. That's not bad. I can do 12, you know, but
I don't care.
What's the over under how many times China said I don't care on the show?
One per.
One, it's
at least
there. It's one per. Yeah.
Like,
so what episode is this?
274.
Yeah, 274 then.
add 10 to 20 for a cushion.
Yeah.
I don't think I say more than once. Well, maybe. You might. Possibly.
It depends. If you don't care.
I don't think I've said it in like the last 4 or 5 episodes.
Yeah, but you doubled up on a few episodes.
Yeah, so it always catches up. Yeah.
I don't care.
See, here we go.
Yeah, it is. All right, man. Let's go. Let's go ahead and jump into the rundown. Shout out to the chat, y'all. Definitely.
I need to put that on a mug.
Cracking in here. So, all right, man. So I saw that the great 50 Cent has confirmed that his next full length album will be his last. Now we know 50. It's been a while since we have, you know, mentioned 50 as it relates to music or making, you know, putting out dope product. He came out the gate though. We know that we were.
Yeah, it's an undeniable classic out the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no doubt about it. I don't even want to. No, I don't even think that's a discussion. We're good on that. But with 50 dropping his last album, I don't know. To me, it's like he is going so far beyond music now. You know, with all the stuff that he's doing in TV,
it doesn't even matter anymore at this point.
Yeah, I don't even think it's going to hit with him with it being his last album. But what do you guys think is going to be bigger for his legacy in terms of how people remember 50, because I've always associated 50 with music up until, you know, his recent, you know, surge in the TV game.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, he's not going anywhere.
No, I'm not saying he's going anywhere. I'm just saying once the music is quote unquote done, and he'll probably still drop records associated with the shows and stuff like that.
You got to kind of sum it up to in the past 10 years.
What do you think?
What has 50 Cent been known for? He hasn't really been known for his music in the past 10 years.
Nope.
It's more so his online presence.
Yep.
Trolling and TV shows, producing, things of that nature.
It's funny you said not trolling, and I agree.
Not necessarily his music. So I think it's actually smart on his part to go ahead and just say, let me focus on this other lane.
Go ahead,
because
Grace,
this is really
out.
Working for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And keep it pushing.
Is there any level of, we remember we were talking about anticipation for projects and who would get you excited?
No.
Does this even rank?
I'll listen to it. I'm sure everybody in here will listen to it at least once, but I haven't been excited about a 50 Cent project probably since The Massacre.
Ever. I've never been excited. No. I mean, I Get Rich or Die Tryin' is a great album, but I've never been excited to hear 50.
Mm.
Even when him and Kanye had their little back and forth thing, I was like,
I remember that.
I'm not going to listen to 50 Cent. So.
That's when Curtis dropped. Well, I'll take that back. His first three albums, I was tapped in.
Yeah, they're good.
After Curtis is when I kind of was like, eh.
Before I Self-Destruct had some joints on it.
He has some joints.
The singles didn't hit, but like there were songs off there that were really good.
He had one called Animal
Planet.
No, like Animal after
there was a lion.
After
on the cover.
After he got done with Interscope, like that's when
did
I
it feature LL Cool J?
No,
see?
That's when I stopped paying attention.
I mean, if it had animals on it,
Stop, man. The only reason I checked for that one is because the homie Nas sent QB had a track on there.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yeah.
If he drops an album that sounds cohesive enough to be like the the themes to his TV shows,
right,
he might be onto something.
I was going to ask what you guys think.
Every one of those like. Hit. Every single well, one of them.
There's a lot of people like, on Friday and Saturday nights, you know, whether night he's playing, Lockstar or I will play This Is a Big Rich Town. Not the one with Trey Songz on it, because nobody liked that. But
with Joe.
Those records that he makes for, you know, I love the I don't even know who sings it, the theme song to BMF.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
At Least You Could Wish Me Luck. That's an incredible, you know, theme song. Hopefully there's a full record of it somewhere.
I don't even watch the shows and I know him.
Yeah.
I think 50's gonna start I think after he does his album, he'll start sprinkling in more joints associated with those that are still, they'll probably still be fire.
But this is the thing, you know, and I know, you know, being an artist for artist's sake is, you know, a lot of what we champion here, but at a certain point, and this is where 50 is, he's bigger than rap. You know, like, I can't bring myself to say I'd really get excited. We on the 70s, oh no, not only one more 50 Cent rap. You know, I'm not really like that.
Yeah.
You know, but if he told me he was gonna stop making TV shows, I'd be a little bit more dismayed, because I'm keep it real. Big. And this is not a commercial, but the only reason I keep Stars is because 50 has something. He's got a new one coming on February 6th.
Immediately. It's like you can't even cancel it.
No.
It's like I was gonna cancel my Stars and now there's a new power coming out.
So when I worked for the cable company, like when before he had his shows going back to back to back, like he does now, I remember like after like the season finale of I can't remember what it is, might be the second season of Power at that point.
Yeah.
And that next day we got so many calls, people were like, yeah, I'm going to get rid of Stars right now. Like they didn't want to pay, like they felt like there was nothing else to watch but Power. They would get it for Power and then drop it as soon as it was over.
They killing them out there with that.
I was doing the same thing.
You know, Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, BMF. I didn't watch 2, which people have told me has gotten good, because I couldn't get through the end of the original Power. Ghost. Yeah, because I was like,
I stopped watching it.
These drug dealers are on the cell phone a little bit too much for my liking.
But, we've seen The Wire.
Yeah, I was like, come on, fam. Yeah. Like, you should know a little better than this.
That's what got BMF caught up, was the cell phone.
Yeah.
Literally.
So, but like I said, I can only get so excited about 50 Cent's music. And if he tells me, okay, I'm going to do one more album, I'll take it or leave it. But like right now he's made himself bigger than rap and this Hollywood game. Once you get there, we're not talking about recoupables.
He's almost been there ever since he had vitamin water. Honestly,
I mean, he's been rich for a minute. Yeah, so it's not like
tapping in, he's been rapping for the money here and there.
Had video games
and does not need the music.
I guess for me, I'm curious about the sound. 50 Cent has always been smart. He always knows how to select production.
He also picks up and coming producers,
right? Which I've always loved about him
historically.
Yeah. So I've always, but I don't want to hear 50 Cent try to. I don't know how to say.
I
don't know if we can.
You know what I mean?
I don't know if we get a grown up 50 Cent. Like, you know, Nas grew up. Jay-Z grew up.
Definitely grew up.
I don't know what a grown up 50. You know, because 50 Cent said 444 was like a something you play at a golf course. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just not there. I mean, mind you, the 444 is several years ago now. But come on, like, you know, because the people who love 50, they want to hear that. That gangster-ish, but that was 20 years ago.
Right. Like, what is 50 Cent going to be talking about? 50
Cent has told people when they was like, yo, come back to the block. He's like, no, I'm not coming back. I see exactly what happens when people go back. And I got too much to do to, you know, so that's not his life anymore. Southside Queens, Jamaica Queens.
Yeah.
He doesn't go back. He if he wants to see anybody from there, they can come see him.
True.
Ferrari F50.
Yeah, I think I just want to see the production credits track list and see what the direction is. That's pretty much my only. That would be one thing that I.
You're
would
good because I'm just not that interested in music.
Yeah,
Like I said,
I mean, I respect
50's bigger than rap now. I keep stay focused on making this TV show, fam.
Yeah, I mean, but like y'all said, y'all talked about with the songs that have been associated with the shows, those have been fire. So maybe that carries over into. You know, the record. I mean,
if he can catch lightning in a bottle like that on a whole album,
exactly.
I'm gonna give him his peas. But until then, I'm gonna keep watching Stars, and even he even had the show on the Felon. What was that show?
For Life.
For Life.
It was on ABC.
Yeah. That, yeah. He was part of that show.
That's him too?
Yeah, that was him too.
That's him too.
And 50 are getting like
bread. He knows what he's doing. He's doing as far as that's concerned. So, hey, that's where it's at for him.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll be on the
Tell
island.
Us how the music sounds. Yeah.
I'm going to listen to it.
I'm going to run it, man. I'll be on the island on this one. I just want to see how 50 sounds now and with the updated 50.
I've never been like a huge 50 Cent fan as far as like being a rapper or anything. Like, I think he's made good records.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, but he's just never been impressive in outside. He's kind of an anomaly to me, I guess, because he makes really good records, but I've never paid attention to anything that he says.
Mm.
Like, ever.
Like, I remember when Wankster came out and everybody was so impressed. I was like, what are y'all? This is what y'all going crazy
over that.
But I mean, when In the Club hit, I mean, it was undeniable.
Well, I think they was more so excited that somebody was going to Ja Rule. So that's, openly, because Ja Rule was kind of running the airways at that point.
Well, this is very true.
I mean, but you know, with 50, he's always been able to pick good records. So, like, well, I remember when Window Shopper hit, I was like, I like this. Yeah, I like this song. The song is dope.
Like, you know, we just was talking about The Game. The Game's first album was pretty much supposed to be 50 Cent's second album, mm-hmm. and he gave Game those tracks.
That might be one of the biggest alley oops I've ever seen. Man. In hip hop. He tossed him a lob with
he
those.
Sure did. There's no
those
way.
Those are full records.
There's no way that Game should have been going at G Unit the way he was doing when you were pretty much handed a classic album.
Yeah,
he's an emotional fella.
Yeah,
emotional fella. Nah, I'm telling you right about that. He shouldn't have had nothing to say.
Nothing.
Because they laced him.
Very gracious. Game's even his whole ascension to stardom was very short. Like, he literally, like, he could have been known for the Dating Game show.
True,
but no, he literally
changed your heart.
He got shot, was laid up, decided he wanted to start rapping.
Yep,
start rapping. Was heard on like a freestyle tape or radio show or something, and just ascended from there. He probably was a nobody to somebody within a year's time in rapping.
Mm-hmm. And he had, and the people that he had around him, that's not even, it's almost unrealistic to get that type of lift up.
Well, because he had the projects that he did earlier in his career before he got to Aftermath. I want to say he did stuff with the Black Wall Street. And then it wasn't. And then, like, the first time I heard it was when he did, what was it, Certified Gangsters with Jim Jones. But it was really the direction, because honestly, he had been at Aftermath for a while.
Yeah.
And then, 50 was like, okay, we can do this, 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 and this. You know, How We Do, Hate It or Love It, those were 50 Cent songs.
Man.
You know. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see. We'll see if we actually care about new music from 50 Cent and Game soon enough.
From both of them, agreed. If I had to have anticipation, it would be more for Game and Hit Boy, obviously, than it would.
Yeah.
50s I thought Tony Ayo was your favorite.
Out of G, you thought that was my favorite? Well, you know, man, Tony.
I thought you were a Spider fan.
Well, you know, Tony has some. He has some moments here and there.
Young Buck had a dope album.
I agree.
His first album was crazy.
Yeah,
I agree. Long, did you like?
I don't like any of these people. And I don't even mean that as any. I mean, I guess you can take it as disrespect, but it's like.
So I took it as disrespect.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I mean,
I took that as disrespect.
But all I mean by it is, like, I never got into 50. Never like overly impressed me.
You didn't outside have a G-Unit wife beater.
Outside of like the fact that he could make hit records and he had great producers and production and
great
executive
production.
Producers around him.
Yeah.
Same with The Game. Like, Game's made some crazy records, but to me, it was more about the people he had around him than him. Mm. So when I listen to The Game or any of G Unit, I'm just not enthused in general.
I respect that. That's your opinion. I can dig it.
But if they drop a record and it's good, it's like, all right, cool. You know, but I couldn't even quote you a 50 Cent bar.
You know what? You might be onto something there, because
it's just his product. His overall product is so good.
As much 50, I'm not saying I'm the huge biggest 50 Cent fan, but what you just said is real. I don't know of a lot of 50 Cent quotables. Like, where it's just like, remember the bar 50 said where he said, you can say
he's
that about
a, he's not a quotable artist. Like,
he's not.
But you know what? You know what? You know why 50 Cent kills it and why when during his ascension and why it worked, he knew how to write a hook and
he
knew
did.
How to create.
Absolutely.
He was probably the best songwriter at one point in hip hop. Yes. And it wasn't even close.
I'll give you that because I feel like songwriting, just overall songwriting, choruses, hooks, production, overall product.
Yeah, for sure.
But like if we single out like just him as a rapper, like I'm not interested.
If you think about it, he used to say all the time, forget the Grammys, like I'm going to we're going to the Billboard Awards. I'm writing these songs. He used to talk about that all the time. Yeah. And he was.
And that too, I would agree.
Yeah, personally. He was killing the charts. So. Great songwriter. You got to give him his P's on that. I agree with that. But
you put enough money around anybody, you can make him a star.
Yeah.
Ooh,
and he has the persona,
what?
Though.
But at the same time, I've seen them put money around like people and nobody gave a F.
Yeah, but I've also seen the opposite.
Yeah, we've seen. Yeah, we.
No. I mean, I understand, you know, but sometimes the stars line up for somebody because there's a chance if 50 Cent came a year earlier or a year later, it wouldn't have worked.
It wouldn't have worked like
but
that.
He tried. He was.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when he tried it before he got shot.
Run. It's kind of the same way with Drake, though. Him and 50 Cent are similar in that because they came out, it didn't happen for him, and then something else happened, and then they were able to get on like they wanted to.
And it was a wrap after that.
Yeah.
Marketing.
So, it's marketing money. You could say that with any artist. Like, you could put the same push behind him. Like, I've always said that with Nelly. The stars line. If he comes a year earlier with the same records, it doesn't work. If it comes a year later, same records, it doesn't work. Just because the marketplace, especially, well, even then, people, you know, for you to grab somebody's attention, it happens so fast, and you have to. There are market issues, you know, things that happen way we receive the music. Like I remember. Like, radio really wasn't trying to mess with country grammar outside of St. Louis. But the thing is, the people loved country grammar. So, like, when there were still markets that had the box and you could call up and get.
As long as you could see the video, then that's
when
the
video
right
dropped out, you know, like, you know, that was part of what they said, wait a minute, people like this record.
Yeah.
Because the industry.
Some people.
The industry. Some people. But that's the thing. The industry did not pick Nelly. They didn't want some kid from St. Louis in this low budget video because country grammar, comparatively speaking,
Band-Aids
when,
all wrong.
Everybody had $1 million video, they was giving Noriega had $1 million video. That's how hip hop was moving at that point. And here's this video with just regular people in it from
Juvenile's
the neighborhood.
Video was kind of low budget than a mug.
Now that mug was low budget.
No, that was low. But you know
that was the most culture shock.
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of like wow.
No, yeah. when I saw,
are they in a junkyard?
No, when I saw, you couldn't ignore seeing a yellow Ferrari in the middle of the hood in New Orleans. You couldn't act like you didn't see that. No. But like, this is I know this for a fact. Like all the nice cars in the country grammar video, those were just people's cars.
It was people from the neighborhood.
It was just
because the same thing was going on here. Yeah, that's why people relate, like especially Midwest, because when you've seen the country grammar video, it looks like where you're at.
These weren't
and then here he's shouting out Midwest states in the song.
Go and look at the country. There's no clearly these are girls from the neighborhood. This is probably some dope boys navigator. Like
it still ain't as bad.
Very
it still wasn't as bad as as high.
Hey,
no.
Or
no,
back
no,
that thing
no, no.
up.
Yeah. No, they're both. You know what? Real quick, you ever watched a TV show and they're shooting a scene and it's like you can just tell it's from the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's something people from the Midwest, like if you try to like shoot a Midwest scene in like California or somewhere, it's just not gonna work.
It's not gonna work.
I was watching something, I was like, I remember this like last week and I was like, they're somewhere close.
Mm-hmm. No, because
I agree with that.
Because the movie Parenthood with Steve Martin is supposed to be set in St. Louis. But it doesn't look like St. Louis.
If you're from the to Lone's point, if you're from the Midwest, you know what the Midwest don't have
that
palm
like
trees.
This looks like a Midwest highway with a Midwest church on the side of it. Yeah. Midwest
all right, man.
Houses.
Let's shout out our partners real quick. And I guess we've learned that High was shot in the you saying in junkyard.
Not quite, but hey.
Junkyard. Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indie CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
It's funny, we were doing, I think was it last week that we mentioned, Long mentioned the Cool Kids, right? Was it last week?
I don't know.
We talking about the underrated, or I feel like me and you had a conversation was about it? Them somewhere.
I don't know.
We have conversations like that on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm getting old, y'all.
You know, so. Mike tried to single out who said what.
And I was like, always wrong. Yeah, I got like a 10% accuracy on that mug.
You're like Mike Spools hasn't been here.
He's here in spirit.
Shout out to the homie Spools. We just had a birthday, actually.
Yeah, birthday.
Yeah, I'm like, I got like a 10% accuracy on that. So just y'all bear with me.
I feel like Brad was talking about it.
Yeah, I just, I'm trash when it comes to that. I can openly admit that. But so the Cool Kids are going to drop an album, and it's a triple album.
Not too much.
That's what I wanted to ask y'all. So there's going to be, the first part is called Before Expletive Got Weird. Okay. And then the next two chapters are going to be, Before Stuff Got Weird. And then it'll be two solo albums, one from each artist. So
it's a little different there.
My question to you all is, you kind of hit on it, Terry. Is that extra or concept albums? Does anybody even care about?
Is it a concept album?
Well, they're calling it a triple album,
but it's not a concept.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's a concept album.
I'll say the concept of them dropping a triple album. I'll say it that way. Like, how many triple albums have we seen?
Well, that's not really a concept.
I mean,
or the idea
concept,
of a triple album.
Concept is generally like a Prince Paul album. That's a concept.
Or
album.
Nas Untitled or something like that. I see what y'all saying. Yeah. I'm using the wrong word.
American Gangster.
Right, that's a concept. Jay-Z album. So I'm using the wrong word. Nah. But
just the idea.
The idea of a triple album.
Three albums in a stream.
Well, the way that when you put it to me like it's a group album, one album, and then two solos.
Right.
That's a little different. I'm thinking it's like three albums of all just kid stuff.
Yeah, it depends on how they
drop it too.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, because it says they're going to part two and it'll be a part three. I just don't know. Like, you kind of hit it on when you were like doing too much. Because I don't think now in the streaming era, it's just people drop stuff. It just comes out and then it's on to the next one.
Maybe they're just letting people know it's coming. I don't know. I don't know. I'm interested.
I'm interested.
There was some sort of weird issue with their name, I think, is what it was. Like, they couldn't make music as the Cool Kids, which is why they stopped making music as the Cool Kids. Like, I don't know if they signed like an independent record deal or something like that. It was something weird. Which is why they went so solo. I think I could be wrong, but I got too much random stuff in my head. But I'm almost certain that that's why they didn't drop so many records. Dropping records for so long.
Those guys were always. You talked about it before we came on about how ahead of their time they were and how unique their sound was. And they haven't dropped anything since 2017. Now this project with them coming back would have my attention way more than what we just talked about with.
Yeah,
Curtis.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And like I said, no diss against the game or 50, but I'm much more interested in hearing the Cool Kids.
And I've already heard one of their singles, and it's really good.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and it sounds like Chuck.
Oh, it does.
And it sounds like
production, too.
That's what I mean.
Production.
I mean, Chuck is a unique rapper, anyways.
Yep.
He's kind of, I don't know. He's different, but even his production is unique.
I don't think they got enough P's for the creativity in their production from. I guess the masses, if you would. That was one of the things that drew me to them is how unique.
I don't think they were big enough.
You think that's the case? Never got. I was living in Chicago, so
they're big in Chicago. Yeah, but outside of that, I mean, they're in like almost pre-blog era or like right in the very.
Yeah, they were
beginning.
Right there at the peak of it too.
Yeah.
So, but I would say the peak, or maybe a little past the peak, is when they were dropping a lot of solo stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Sir Michael Rocks and. English, he was producing a lot too.
Yeah, I actually got a vinyl, Chuck English vinyl that came out on Record Day 1 year back then.
I remember to your point about the pre-blog and all that. When I was living in Chicago, man, it was, you couldn't turn from hearing the cool kids, hearing about them shows.
Right.
People trying to get features.
What was their initial big underground record? Was it?
And it's been so long.
Go in the Pager?
Black Mags.
Black Mags.
Or maybe
it was one of those two. Yeah, I think it was Black Mags.
But those records used to go
one of those two.
Off. And they were huge there. I remember that era vividly. But this
sound is so unique.
Yes.
Like nobody, and we were talking about this earlier, nobody really sounds like them and still don't sound like them, really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised nobody's reached out to Chuck English for production.
Agreed.
I mean, we saw it for a while. I mean, I think he worked with like Mac and a bunch of underground people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause there was a good, I think, 3, 4, or 5 years where you would see Chuck's name pop up. I think Asher Roth even.
Okay.
You know,
and the artists that you're naming, though,
they're super underground, but he was dropping a lot of stuff with a lot of these people.
And his production style and that, the lane that they carved out, isn't necessarily for everybody. You got to be, I would think, you'd have to be a certain type of artist to want to hop on one of those, like the type of production that they have. Like when you say Mac, I'm like, that makes sense to me. I could see that.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could. A lot of these kids now, and a lot of the artists that come out now, I don't know if everybody's going to be able to just
hop
in that bag.
I feel like it could be a wave, though. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just so different. I feel like it could catch on. I don't know. Maybe not super mainstream.
I got to hear that record that you're talking about now.
I forget what it's called, but.
Yeah, if you find a name of that, let me know, because I want to check that out. But
It's Yours Part 2.
That's what it's called. Okay. Might be in here. It is here. It's in my article.
It's co-produced by Beat Butcher.
Hmm. Really? Okay. Heat.
Yeah, he's got heat.
He got heat. Let me see if the chat. They started the whole retro. Brothers to the Night. Yeah. Retro vibe. Black Mags.
Yeah, they did or were responsible for a lot of the retro.
Yeah,
definitely.
Brother to the Night pointed that out. Appreciate you.
But I feel like if they drop like their album and then they follow it up with like Chuck and Mikey's staggered, you know, single wise, I think it'll be all right. If they drop it all at the same time, I feel like you're probably going to lose a lot of that gusto, maybe.
A lot of music just to,
yeah, it's a
just
lot
to drop.
Yeah, unless you're going to drop like a video or for everything or something with everything, which even stills. I don't know if I would do that.
That might be a super overkill with
the videos too.
Yeah.
Well, I've always wanted somebody to actually make a video for each one of their songs on an album.
Yeah.
And I usually, when I listen to albums too, it's weird. I can visualize certain songs and how the video should look. And I'm surprised nobody's ever.
I feel like somebody's probably done it.
Well, Marcus Houston did it. That doesn't count.
Didn't Beyonce do it? I mean,
yeah,
you're talking about.
With,
I don't think
yeah, I guess
for hip hop.
Beyonce did.
She did that with Lemonade.
I think Ice-T did it. And I'm
don't
not,
do that. Don't
I'm
do
not
that.
Kidding.
Don't do
in
that.
In 1987, he did it.
I'm not kidding. I think
Ice-T ain't do
I think,
no videos for.
I think Ice-T has a video for everything on the OG album.
Really?
I think he has a whole. Yeah.
How
he was on Warner Brothers.
On
he was getting, you know.
How many songs is on
OG? How many songs on that album?
Cause I know I was
I
watching.
Know about
I
that
was watching
more.
Videos heavy then. I know I ain't see.
I think he put out. You know, he put out. You had to buy the VHS, the OG video VHS.
Oh, it was a VHS. I mean, that's kind of like Moonwalker.
Yeah.
And, or even Jay-Z, Streets is Watching.
If now Streets is Watching was dope.
Yeah, if you're talking about buying a companion to the album per se, but like, just like if all of them were on like BET or MTV or something, you
what's
know
a what's a hip hop song that you would have liked to seen a video to?
Lots of them, really.
If I could think,
there's
of
there's one at the top of my
WAP.
List.
Well, your wish has been granted.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, you can go watch that now.
I always thought it would have been incredible if N.W.A. did a video for Gangsta Gangsta. Because it's set, like the way Ice Cube wrote that song is so visual. Like,
now you got me thinking, man.
I just would love to see a video for that.
Now you got me thinking. That's a good question.
I'd have to think about this because I don't really care about music videos like that. You know what I mean? Like, in the sense of like
Yeah, and it would have to be something old. Like I
used to love music videos.
I used to, and I think they're important still. But
no, they're not really important.
I think there's still a place in marketing for them. I mean, YouTube's still the biggest search engine. YouTube's still huge.
That's part of why NBA YoungBoy is who he is, honestly, because he does so well on YouTube.
Look, shout out to my man B Nasty, the Blend Master. When I was hosting the Busta Rhymes concert, he was playing the music during the whole time.
Yeah,
and they actually had his setup to where he was mixing the songs and had the videos on the big screens at the venue.
That's fine.
And I was like, I didn't know there was a video for this. This is a lot of colorful stuff going on here. and lots of beautiful young ladies in these videos. I have to start getting back into hip hop videos.
You know, he already puts out a lot of music videos, but I would say, like, I really enjoy Flying Lotus's approach to music videos. I don't know if you've seen his, but they're just so.
His are more like
creative and artsy.
Some of them shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're always like super. Like he has one video that was done by the guy who made, I don't know if you've seen the Salad Fingers series.
Mm. I have not. Red August laughing, so it must be something.
So like he did one of his videos for him and it was pretty cool. It was like interestingly weird. Like all of his videos are kind of weird, but.
But, Tyler the Creator does a good job.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, he does.
Tyler the Creator's visuals are always dope.
And even with his last album, I think he's dropped like 4 videos for that.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler the Creator does great with his visuals. Those help with the engagement, I think, with him. He's fire with that.
And it carries over to the live performance too, because he'll set the stage up the same way as those videos, which is dope.
So it's interesting that you say that though, that you think. I know a lot of people that think the opposite, like kind of like what Jay Moore was saying with the power of videos. Like, is there still relevancy there? Does it still drive engagement?
I think it might just be different than what we were potentially used to. You know,
videos just be.
I mean,
mad
videos
important.
pretty much ran the culture for a minute.
Videos were important,
but you can still see. You know, depending on who you are.
Yeah.
People are still watching them and the numbers are still going up, you know, that's to the point to where people aren't even putting out like just straight singles of audio anymore. Mm-hmm. They're putting visualizers on their singles. Yeah. So it's doing cool, weird stuff.
Yeah. When you go and look at YouTube and you see like videos from our era, you know, they've got maybe 10, 15 million views. You see something that's a hit now, billions of views.
Yeah, especially like K-pop and stuff like that.
I'm talking about BTS, you know, I saw Rihanna, some Rihanna song had like 800, 900 million views.
Certain artists are killing.
Yeah.
Especially some artists that are like really bubbling underground that we don't even maybe even pay attention to.
You know, they're able to get 4 or 5 million views through YouTube.
Even that goofy Tom McDonald gets tons of views.
You know, so. Videos are important. I misspoke. You know, I think about it and I look about the analytics behind it and, you know, seeing what the numbers actually are. And the fact that, like, you know, when your video was getting played on MTV or BET, even though it's only just this little bit of money every time your video is played on YouTube, it's still more than what you were getting if you were getting played on MTV 7 to 8 times a day.
Because, I mean, the average Joe can put out a video on YouTube and be rich if it gets enough views.
You know,
because once it go,
just reviewing
out of there.
Other people's videos.
Yeah,
like there are people who are making good livings for themselves.
Oh yeah,
just by saying, "Hey, let's do a reaction video to." It doesn't even have to be music.
There's a kid that's making millions of dollars by playing with toys. Has his own toy line now at Target.
So I mean. Yeah.
I know he got his own line.
Visual media, honestly, and. The DIY model can take you a lot further now than it could at any time in history.
And I think to your point, I think there was a time where music videos were an absolute necessity.
Definitely.
Agreed.
I mean, because
tuning in
for a world premiere of a video.
Yeah.
It was huge.
And even within the last decade, they were still super, super important. But I think maybe the market share of it all is kind of like moved a little bit. Like they're not... It's not like it's the only thing that's important. Nah. Like, you know, short form content is probably more important than music videos.
Yeah.
That wasn't always the case by any means.
Well, also, you know, when you had it, if you were going to get a video, you had to get a certain level of film stock. You had to, you know, go out and actually secure locations and this, that, and get permits. You know, if you got the new iPhone.
It was a for real production.
If you have a new iPhone now, you know, you can get out and shoot something that looks as good as something that was shot for $1 million in the 90s.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You can do it with Android, too.
Yep.
Talk to him about the Mandroids.
You can.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, talk to him about the Mandroids.
Hey, Cool Hand Lex does all of our reviews on Decademics with the iPhone.
Yeah.
And they look very
crispy.
Good.
Yep. Crispy. Yeah.
Shoot everything in full HD.
Yeah.
You know, once you figure out how to get your audio together and good to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else we got?
All right, man. Let's go to.
Our timing's a little weird, but I'm pretty sure we still have like 10 minutes.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Appreciate you, sir.
We'll see soon enough.
Joe Rogan. Yeah, I see.
Oh, yeah.
Who? No, I'm just kidding.
The $100 million man. He's been, I didn't see his rebuttal.
Is this the 5 o'clock free crack giveaway?
Yeah, actually, it is. That sounded like a Crowder impression.
I used to.
But, dude, just real quick.
Yeah.
That Crowder guy is so openly racist on his show, and I don't know how he gets away with it.
Who's this on what show?
It's like Crowder and friends. I don't know. It's him and his white supremacist buddies joking about random stuff. And
where is this? Don't tell him. If that's the vibe he's on, let's not give him that.
Yeah,
that
we don't want to give him his pee.
Steven, he's huge. This guy, Steven Crowder.
Word?
Yeah, I don't.
I'm asleep on that. I ain't gonna
but
lie.
But he does what he does. I know we're off topic real quick, but he does this thing where he does everything, but like, it's like he tries really hard to do everything except like say the slur.
What?
I don't know how to explain it, but anyways.
Yeah, you might.
I'll show you guys.
Yeah, you might have to pull that up
later.
But, you know, Joe Rogan has been a little hot water with his podcast, and he is a $100 million man. They threw him a bag. But there were several bags. Thank you for that, Terry. But a couple artists that weren't too happy with his comments as it related to COVID vaccines, and they pulled their catalogs from Spotify.
Well, it wasn't they were mad at what his comments necessarily. They were mad at who they brought on the show.
Was it the guest? It was the guest. It wasn't his thought. It wasn't
his thought. It was more so the fact that he gave a platform to specific
someone
people.
Like, okay. Because I know Neil Young said it's a rap, and Joni Mitchell as well.
A whole bunch of people today came out too.
Oh, there's more people that pulled them? Do you have any?
I saw it on Facebook.
NDIRE.
Yeah.
Oh, where? Okay.
Yeah. And a couple other people.
I mean, when you actually break it down, it makes sense for them to leave the platform because, one, they're making literally not even pennies. It takes so much for them to make money from Spotify. So it's almost it's a smack in the face to them that you have this podcast, you're paying him $100 million to be on this platform, and you're literally, this is your lifeblood, is your music, and everything is so flip-flop now that you need for your music to be streamed in order to make some.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Spotify is not paying them that much anyway, so technically they're not really losing by pulling away from this platform. Honestly, that's my
opinion. You're very right. And plus, you know, you talk about somebody like,
because we know the splits.
Was it Neil Young?
Yeah.
You know, look, I'm not saying he's not standing in his convictions.
Yeah.
But, you know, he already got $150 million bag for selling the rights to his music.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot easier to take these principled stands when you've already got $150 million or whatever the split is in your bank account for selling the rights to music. I'm not casting aspersions on his actual principled stand, but I'm just saying he can do that. You know, it's going to, like, Joni Mitchell, shout out to her. NDIRE, shout out to her. Now, if Drake or Taylor Swift or Doja like Cat or one of the, or Adele say, yeah, we not rocking with this. Now you're talking about a dynamic that's going to have to change. But you got to understand, Joe Rogan already signed that $100 million. He already got the $100 million. There's only so much Spotify. Mm-hmm. They're already all in on this cat as far as the exclusive content.
100%.
So there's only so much. There's only so much they can do.
Lone, didn't you say Rogan had a rebuttal? I haven't seen it. You said he.
Yeah, I watched his. I mean, Joe Rogan's an interesting character because there was a time when he's always been like a comedian. He's never been like a huge comedian, but he's always been decent. You know what I mean?
He was a Fear Factor guy.
Yeah, that was that too.
And before that, the radio show on NBC with Candy Alexander and
I don't know about that.
Andy Dick and Phil Hartman.
He's always just been around. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we've
News Radio. That was the name of the show.
We've always kind of known him.
Was he on that show?
He was on that show.
See, I don't even remember him from that show.
But, and I'm not a Rogan head by any means. I've seen some of his stuff. Some of his interviews are good. Sometimes he says some stuff. I'm just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, he has some weird. Yeah. Get into that else some other time. But
yeah.
For this particular thing, his rebuttal was essentially. Just kind of acknowledging it, really. I mean, I wasn't even mad at it. Like, he just said, he was like, you know, I understand why people might be upset. He said, my thing is, like, I invite people on and we have conversations. He's like, I don't have any agenda. He's like, I book everybody myself still. And he's like, you know, maybe I should do a little bit better job of having the other opinions on as well, you know, shortly afterwards. And he's like, you know, Spotify is going to put a disclaimer at the beginning of the episodes if anything's potentially controversial and stuff like that. You know, he's like, but yeah, so I don't know, like,
took some accountability.
I think he took a decent amount of accountability,
as much as he can possibly take at this point.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, like, I've seen people also come out and say stuff like, oh yeah, what about podcast, you know, I'm sitting here, obviously we do a podcast, so I'm like, they're like, yeah, they should vet everything, and you know, all these things need to happen before the show is shot. I'm just like,
slow down.
I was like,
please slow down.
And I'm just like, look, like, at some point in time, we do have to acknowledge that, yes, you have to be careful with how you say stuff, right? And the things you say, because you have a responsibility there. But there's really only so much you can do with this. Like, are you really going to take Joe Rogan off the air because he interviewed somebody that had an opinion? You know what I mean? Like,
you can't really do that.
You can't do that. Man, so you can't do that.
I don't know. Like, I get it, you know, and he does have a huge cult following, and they seem to eat it up. You know, everybody thinks that, I mean, the whole worm, take the worm stuff was from him, you know, because he interviewed somebody and then he subscribed to it. So, you know, it can be dangerous, but at the same time, like, I feel like he's reasonably responsible. You know, he's
it's not like someone's making people watch his take on COVID or whatever
his
hot topic is, or his guest.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch it.
But that's not the argument, though.
I know. I'm just saying, for example, like Oprah, Donahue, Geraldo, they all had people on their shows that weren't necessarily someone that you would G for or like their opinion, but they were still on the show because that's what drove the numbers and the viewership.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, now we're in a new day and age where a podcast, Joe Rogan is arguably the biggest podcast out there.
He's got to be number one.
Close.
He's going to have some topics that are going to push buttons for viewership. I mean, that's just part of the game. I understand that totally. I wouldn't think that he would do anything else. And I'm not mad at Spotify either for not dropping him or
no, they
got too much invested.
Pulling shows.
I don't blame, like I said,
I don't even blame Neil Young.
Nah, I don't blame them either.
Yeah. So. But you know what is, like I said, this isn't Joe Rogan saying, this is my, he has said some goofy stuff in the past.
Yeah.
Okay. But if he says, okay, I'm going to have a conversation with somebody, just because you don't like who he's having a conversation, you know, you hit it right on the head.
That's
like
an
Oprah or Donahue, like they would bring these Klan members on and have the conversation. Or let's just play the other side. You know, when Donahue would bring on Mr. Farrakhan and have conversations with him.
When they had Luke.
You know, exactly. There's always going to be somebody on there be like, well, I don't agree with this, you know, or I think this is misinformation or however it is that you want to put it in the context of then and now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can't. People having conversations, that's where we got to watch it. I don't want to say watch it. Maybe that's a bit too much because then someone could say, oh, well, you guys talked about this when we were sitting down talking and we don't have anywhere near the clout of Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
But if someone said, no, we're not going to do this because the new old heads said this about so-and-so.
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. I was going to keep her name out of
there
it.
There you go, Lone. There you go.
You know, but it is what it is. And
it,
like,
wasn't even one of the most controversial.
Like I said, having conversations, because he's had Elon Musk, like, you know, honestly,
Jordan Peterson.
I haven't checked for him really because it used to be I'd be able to see the clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, and I always liked when he sat down and talked with comedians. You know, I remember, you know, he talked to John Witherspoon. That was one of my favorite
episode.
When he sat down and talked to Charlamagne and Andrew Schultz, or when he sat down and talked to Dave Chappelle. Those, you know, when he's sitting down and talking to Ben Shapiro, I don't care what Ben Shapiro has to say, so I'm not going to watch that episode.
Yeah.
You say Lone is
comedy. It's comedy because Ben is goofy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that too. But you know, we, you know, people having people having conversations that you may not like.
Yeah,
that's a slippery slope.
It is, and it's part of the. I hate to say it, that people are so sensitive about literally everything nowadays. Like, you can't police conversation, and sometimes those conversations are going to get things on the table that need to be on the table and need to be discussed.
Yep.
Or to be refuted. Maybe, you know, if next week he has someone on and says, well, this is why this, that, and the third is not right. I am a doctor. I've done the research. It's like there's going to be somebody who on the other side who's like, well, why would you have that doctor on after this with all that research? Mm-hmm. Where's that research coming from?
Here's the crazy thing, even about the COVID stuff. He brought on the two people that people are upset about are doctors, and they're like high in their field.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that they predicted was... some of it was actually accurate, you know, like the cloth masks, not really
doing anything,
and certain things. So, I mean, it's not like everything that they talked about was 100%.
A lot of
invalid.
People who are outraged haven't even watched the show to know what they're talking
about.
They're
not going to watch it anyway.
That's
just like people didn't watch the whole Nicki Minaj clip.
They clearly didn't watch the whole,
you know,
they
found the part that would make them angry.
From my standpoint, I like some of Joe's stuff, other stuff I don't care about, but I will say that I can at least appreciate, for me personally, I can appreciate him actually addressing this and being like, I hear where you guys feel like I should do better, and I'll kind of try to address this. I can appreciate.
Look, because he already got his $100 million. It could be like, F all of y'all.
He could have.
I'll give him
peace
for what both of y'all just said. I give him peace for that, for the accountability. Because he got his bread, so he don't necessarily have to.
Yeah, I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, he could act a fool if you want. But
he
could have
doubled down on all this.
He could have, yeah. So I give him peace for that. I definitely give him peace for that.
And you know what? As much as it'd be like, okay, Neil Young, NDRE, Joni Mitchell. Look, when the new This, That, and the Third drops on Friday, where are you going to be? Spotify.
Yeah.
I'm not really a big Spotify fan. I don't use Spotify very much.
No, I'm a Tidal guy. But, you know, the only reason I have Spotify is to listen. The only reason I got Spotify was when... I didn't like listening to our podcast on what was it, SoundCloud?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated listening to our podcast, so I got Spotify. That's the only reason I have it.
Hey, leave us some reviews on iTunes so we can get more reviews.
Yes, we really would appreciate that.
If you're listening, go be like, man, that Lone guy, he says I don't care too much.
Yeah, leave that as a comment. That's cool.
That'd be awesome, actually. Yeah.
Nikki people too, y'all can leave some.
No, they've already left them. That's fine.
They left him on their own.
Everything. They left enough death threats for me. Yeah. Of course, that's fine.
Yeah, the world was on. The internet was on fire for a little bit over the new old heads. That's cool. All right, man. Shout out to the chat. We appreciate y'all as always. I think that's going to do it for this episode. NewOldHeads.com. All the education you need this year. Find everything. Find these too, low key.
For the kids.
So, we got new mugs.
Yeah, we got new mugs. We appreciate the support as always. Red Knowledge, thank you.
Thugging.
And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.